The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the speaker. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice from your own physician.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. This is Renee Rosati. We go over some pearls of wisdom from interventional spine providers. This is Joshua Levin with us, who practices in Palo Alto, California. I'm going to hand over the microphone. He's going to tell us a little bit about his background and his practice before we dive into our topic today.
Hello, I'm Josh Levin. So I am a physiatrist. I'm currently at Stanford University, where I'm the director of the residency program, also our spine fellowship. So I did my PM&R training at University of Michigan. I then went to Virginia Commonwealth University, where I did interventional pain management fellowship. I practiced in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for about 6 years before I came out to Stanford. So now at Stanford, I mostly see spine patients, a little bit of musculoskeletal conditions as well, and I do EMGs as well. Outside of medicine, I enjoy doing things with family. I have two kids and my wife. Sports, like being active, and yeah, that's about it.
What kind of sports do you and your family do together?
I used to be a tennis player, not so much anymore. But now mostly I'm swimming and Peloton, and then my kids, you know, the two girls, they dance, volleyball, a little bit of tennis.
Have they taught you some good dance moves?
No.
All right. Well, today's topic is incidentalomas, as I like to call them, incidental findings on MRIs. So whose responsibility is to follow it up? And, you know, different providers might have different opinions on this. So I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Levin. For example, we'll go with the case that if you ordered a lumbar MRI for back pain, and then you have an incidental mass that comes up on an ovary or on a kidney, what's the next step that you do in management?
Yeah, so I think this is a real important topic, because obviously these can have important implications for patients. I view these, I think, differently depending on what it is and how concerning it looks. Also, important to keep in mind the wording from the radiologist, I think. So if I see something that looks not concerning, looks like a renal cyst or something like that, you know, the radiologist mentions, you know, increased T2 signal, most likely a renal cyst. I might mention that to the patient, you know, talk to your primary care doctor about it. Sometimes if I guess I'm a little more concerned about it, or if they describe it a little differently, I may order, an ultrasound myself in a case like that. If it's a little more concerning, if the lesion looks a little more concerning, and then especially when radiologists get into wording like recommend additional imaging, I think that absolutely has to be evaluated, and I think it's our responsibility. If especially if we ordered the study, I think the only exception to that would be is if you actually had like a physical, you know, contact with the other, you know, the primary care provider, and you talked on the phone, not just sending a message or an email, and you know that it's that the ball is not going to get dropped. But if there's a finding that is more concerning, and like I said, especially if we ordered the study, but even if we didn't, because a lot of times I've seen many times where something like that is on an MRI report and it's been totally ignored for years even. So I think we need to make sure that study gets ordered, whether it's us ordering it or confirming with no doubt that you know, the primary care physician or someone else is going to order it. When it's, you know, in an area of the body, a kidney or an ovary or something that I'm not an expert in, I'll let the patient know that this isn't my area of expertise and that I won't be the one to, you know, follow this, but I want to make sure that the process gets started and then I can get them to the right person. But we have to make sure that it gets evaluated and the ball doesn't get dropped.
So you have no qualms with ordering a renal ultrasound or a pelvic MRI to further evaluate some of those findings?
For the renal ultrasound, no. Like I do that often. If the radiologist says, you know, recommend renal ultrasound, I'll usually order that. If it was like a pelvic MRI, that one, I've probably done it before, but that one I'd be a little more hesitant, but I'd make sure it gets done. And if I had any doubt, then yeah, I would just order it.
Okay, now what about if there's concern for like a bone-related metastasis? So something like multiple myeloma or prostate cancer spreading to the bone. Is this something that you would order an SPEP or UPEP on? How often are you placing those lab orders, or do you call the patient's PCP?
I'll usually order SPEP/UPEP in that situation. If it's a lesion that looks like potentially it needs to be biopsied, at Stanford, our neurointerventional radiologists would be the ones who do that. So I would refer them for that. But again, it wouldn't be just a click on Epic, refer to X, and then forget about it. That would definitely be followed with a text or something to make sure that somebody's following up on them.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, this can be fairly common, incidentalomas. And I think in my training, one of my mentors said if you're not finding cancer once a year in your back pain clinic, then you're not looking for it. It's probably there.
Oh, and one more thing I wanted to mention is at the beginning I mentioned about some of it depends on the radiologist's wording. I think from a medical legal standpoint, if a radiologist says additional imaging is recommended, I think even if we're not concerned with it, even if we think, oh no, that's just a hemangioma, I think we're obligated. It has to be evaluated, because that's indefensible if the radiologist who has 5 years of training and all this, experience, specifically in radiology, if they say this should be done, I don't think we can defend it, even if we don't necessarily agree with that. And then when sometimes they hedge a little, right? Consider based on clinical, scenario. That I think it's okay. Like that, if they say, hey, you could consider evaluating this, and if it's just like a simple kidney cyst, then that I don't think we necessarily need to.
But always good to disclose to the patient, hey, we found a simple cyst. We don't think that it looks typical of pathologic morphology, but you have this, just so you know.
And in that situation, that's the one I'll sort of let slide. I'll often say that and say, next time you see your primary doctor, just make sure you mention it to him. And I think if that gets lost in the cracks, it's not a big deal.
So at my institution and other institutions I've been at, there's long waiting lists, especially in academic centers. If you found something concerning on your MRI as an incidentaloma, do you put in the referral to oncology, knowing that the wait list might be 2 or 3 months long? Or do you wait for further imaging?
Yeah, I don't usually refer directly to oncology, like in these situations. I would get more information first. Oftentimes they're going to want a tissue sample. So oftentimes it would be, at least in our institution, it would be referring to radiology to do the biopsy. And then they typically would be the ones then to refer to the oncologists.
Well, I think that wraps up all my questions on this topic. Thank you for your time. All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a great afternoon.